News Radio 560 KPQ.
This is The Agenda from News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern affecting you are open for discussion. And now your host, Michael Knight.
Bill 15 in News Radio 560 KPQ. Michael Knight, your humble host. Here we are in the studios of KPQ once again, staring out onto the Avenue of Dreams. And this afternoon, as we get into our program, I ask you to consider this. How many parts do you imagine there are to your resume, the record of your life? Have you lived four lives, five lives, more? Well, perhaps you have. Maybe we all have, but I doubt if we'll ever catch up with my guest today. I first heard of our guest, Wendell George, when his books were on sale at Yule Bookshop, so I thought he was an author. I thought, that's nice. But I was to learn later that he's an apple farmer, so I thought, well, apples, that's nice. Then it was revealed to me that he owns a cattle ranch, so I guess he's a rancher too, and I said, well, that's nice. Then I learned he worked for Boeing as an engineer, making certain that we put a man on the moon, so I thought, the moon, that's cool, we can all agree on that. Is there more? Yes, there is more. His father was chief of the Intiet tribe. Wendell may be partially retired, but his responsibilities to the Colville Confederated Tribes is steady. He's a tribal councilman, tribal corporation CEO, chief executive officer. Well, that's nice. What else can he be? I mean, that's about it, right? He's accomplished. He's adept. He is, as they say in the business, on the money. And now he's on the air. So let's discover the various lives of this fellow together, shall we? As we meet my very special guest, Wendell George, raconteur, boulevardier, man about town, and on the air with us this afternoon. Wendell, welcome to KPQ. How are you this afternoon?
Oh, pretty good. Thanks, Mike, for the good introduction there. It looks like you read my whole resume.
Well, I felt that I had better, because what if I just left out, like, you were a Boeing engineer? You would have said, well, you know, I helped get guys to the moon. I'm not just a part of the tribal CEO.
Yeah, right. Well, I've done a lot of things, so... But most recently, the last probably 20 or 30 years, I've been working very hard for all kind of tribal activities. And we're trying to move our tribe into the modern world, which it was pretty stagnated for a long time.
What do you think prevents the tribe from being part of the modern world? What is the modern world doing to prevent you from being part of it? And what are you doing to prevent yourself from joining?
Well, the modern world has been, and that's what my books is about, all the impediments that we have that stop the tribal people from really adjusting, because civilizations that came in here are so much different from my ancestors, my great-grandfather and further back. They lived a total freedom nomadic life, and other people want them to come in here and did farming and things that they weren't used to, and that was only one of the differences. There's a lot of differences, and that's what I wrote up in my four books. I start out with coyote stories because that seemed to be the way to do it, because we didn't have a written language. Like most tribes, didn't have a written language, so everything was oral. Our grandfathers or spokesmen for each family would tell a story, giving the kids history and culture and language, and that's how it was carried on. And my father was one of, his name was Moses George, he was one of them that did all this. He spoke two languages. He spoke Yakima, and which was his mother's language, and Wenatchee, which is his dad's language.
Are those two languages very close to one another?
Well, they met each other. See, she was from Kintas Valley, and the Wenatchee Valley is just over the hill through Blue Pass. And they both tribes spent a lot of time in Leavenworth fisheries, and Lake Wenatchee, Huckleberry areas, and they would camp there for weeks at a time, and that's how he met her, and that's how a lot of marriages happen, just by that kind of activity.
And Wendell, do you speak those two languages as well?
Do I think what?
Do you speak those two languages as well? Do you speak both those languages?
I spoke a little bit with my dad, but he's been gone for over 20 years, so I don't really have anybody to work that out with. So I can speak a few words, but I'm not fluent in it at all.
How did you acquire your education to get off the reservation and become so successful in life? Is that a possibility for many men, many young men on the reservation?
Oh yeah, today we have all kinds of systems. We got grants, we got loans, we got all kind of encouragement for the kids to get on. I have three grandkids that's gone on to college right now, and three more are in the process of doing that. But when I went there, we didn't have any loans or grants or anything, so I had to work and put myself through college that way. And it was a lot more difficult. Of course, the cost of college wasn't near as high as it is now, so probably the differential isn't that great.
Did you study engineering?
Yeah, I studied engineering at Washington State University, electrical engineering, which come at a time when computers were just getting, the people were just learning about computers. And since then, it's become every day for everybody. My grandkids probably know more about computers than I do, even though I studied them, because they use it all the time. It's a whole different world. But our people here are very, very aware of education, and so they really encourage all the students to go on. Of course, a lot of them can't go on because various reasons, family problems or money problems, or they just aren't interested in that. You know, you have to be driven to get through college. You don't just accidentally get through. But I wanted to talk about some of the Indian things, just to give my four books are all listed on Amazon, and I talk about the Indian way of life. It started out with A Cow Who Finishes a People, that first book, and it was basically the stories that were handed down by my dad to my kids. And I handed it down to my grandkids, so we're continuing that. And I decided it was better to write it down because both my dad and I would forget a lot about it, you know, about what we were trying to do. But I learned a lot by all the national activities I went with the tribes. I went all over the United States. There's like 562 tribes. I didn't meet people from all those tribes, but from every area in the United States. For example, the Iroquois Confederate tribes has five tribes, and I met people from three of them, the Mohawks, Oneida, and Seneca. And the Iroquois is noted for having a constitution that Ben Franklin took a lot of the things out of the Iroquois Constitution and put it in the U.S. Constitution.
I'd never heard of that before.
You've heard of it?
No, I say I had never heard of the Iroquois Constitution.
Well, most people haven't. And he spent 20 years trying to get that in the Constitution because it was so much different. People that were doing the Constitution were saying they wanted freedom and independence, that type of thing, but they didn't know what that was because they came from Europe, an area that really wasn't very freedom. It was aristocracy. And when Ben Franklin saw how this was written up, it gave the people a lot of freedom, and that's the way the tribal people all think. So I learned from people like Stu Seneca, who was from the Seneca tribe, Ernie Stevens from the Oneida of Wisconsin, tribe, and Lou Bruce, who was a Mohawk, and he was a commissioner of Bureau of Indian Affairs when I met him, and all three of these had a lot of information because they were from the Iroquois Confederacy. But beyond that, I was on a group that studied economic development for the nation that had a former chairman of the Navajo tribe. So he gave me a lot of insights from that area.
Did you find that the cultures with the Iroquois and the Oneida were completely different from what you had grown up with?
No. There's certainly a lot of differences because of the geographic and the language and that sort of thing. But the basic ideas were all similar. I can give you two things that were very much similar. Most tribal people believe that we're all tied to nature in some way, that we're part of nature. That's one thing that's very common. And the other thing that's common is humor for tribal people is very predominant. And when you first meet a person, the first thing you do is try to tell a joke on him. Ah. And he does the same thing to you. And it's open and this sort of clears the air. There's certainly animosity because of politics and that sort of thing. But most of the time when you're talking to people, tribal people, it's a pretty friendly type environment. And that's very common. And up in the Northwest, I had real good friends with Mel Sampson, who was later become a chairman of the Yakima tribe. Robert Kim was a chairman of the Yakima tribe too before he died of a heart attack. And then Sam Kagi was from the Lummi tribe was chairman, and he was an excellent chairman. Then from my own Caldwell tribe, I traveled a lot with Lucy Covington because she was on the council and I was at the time young guy working in the staff of the tribe, and she'd bring me around, introduce me to various committees, and all these people taught me a lot of things about the beliefs of tribal people, and that enabled me to have some confidence of what I was thinking and writing about, because besides my dad and my folks, other people also felt the same way.
We're talking about a number of your books that you've written. Could you give us some of the titles so people interested could get them on Amazon?
Yes. First one was Coyote Finish as a People. And this is a book of a series of tribal stories, such as Coyote Gets His Power, Coyote Brings Fire, and Everything Has Spirit. The stories actually involve a newer description of today's technology. As you know, as you've heard, I have a technology background. The tribal stories have been verified by science and by scientific discoveries of the day. And I point this out in a lot of areas in all four of my books. Just give you one example on page 156 of Coyote Finish as a People. Describes the unique ability of quantum waves to store large quantities of 3D information, which enables a human brain to read this information and create the world. This is done by a holographic process because we're made up of light waves. And this ties right into all the stories of tribe have. We feel that we're straw people. We have a lot of real original stories that talk about how we actually came from the stars. And I find this is true of just about all the tribes I've run into. They have some story like that.
That's the origin of the species. We didn't start here. We came from the stars and then made our home here. Wendell George, could you tell us why Coyote is the communicator in all these stories?
Well, there was a lot of stories, animal stories, because animal was kind of the way tribal people like to do the third person talking. The animal could say something that most people wouldn't say, you know. And these animal stories were really predominant. And Walt Disney then took this idea and made Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse and made billions of dollars on that using the same concept. But Coyote himself was most popular because the young kids liked Coyote because he was always in trouble. He always got in trouble, but he was able to get out of it and not be too bad of shape. And so the kids all just loved that. They liked it when he got in trouble, but they liked it better when he got out of trouble. So that's probably why it was more popular than others. The second book that I wrote was Last Chief Standing. And that's a story of my internet tribe. It's actually goes through 8 generations of my family. And goes back, so it's kind of vague when you get back to the 8th generation, but it gets clearer with my great-grandfather, Choco Sass, who was the chief at INIAT. He never left INIAT, even though they were all forced, most people were forced. He wouldn't leave there. He stayed there. And he lived through 3 generations, 1788 to 1903. So he had a long life and saw the whole evolution of the way the place was settled. And then his oldest son, Lahompa, Coxet George, was my grandfather. He witnessed the Yakima Treaty of signing of 1855, which was a major treaty in those days. But it was a one-sided negotiation of the impatient Governor Stevens. The tribes didn't really get much out of it. And so they spent the next 20 years in a very unrestful period, and the people were really in a lot of bad shape. There were some minor skirmishes, what history calls wars, but there wasn't much of a war because tribal people didn't really have an army or armament. They had bows and arrows and a few guns that they stole, but they didn't have a war. But they were certainly pushed around a lot. And my grandfather finally came up to the Carver Reservation in Carter Valley and started a cattle ranch. It was very easy for him to do because he loved horses and he had a lot of good horses, just like his dad. And my dad, after he went to the service of World War II and then worked at the state highway at Wenatchee, he came back to the reservation and started. He actually grew some horses too. He liked horses, but I like to say with him, he was the last of the family to be born in a traditional teepee, and the first to father a college graduate in my family. That was me. I gave up a career going to return to the tribe and help with the economic development. And now the tribe's the largest employer in the Okanagan County area. So we've really changed from the economy, which was a nomadic direct pursuit of food, to full-time careers and paychecks.
What was it like for you, Wendell, when you went to Washington State as a young man off the reservation with a whole future in front of you that you didn't know existed yet?
Well, I had a little bit more time off the reservation than a lot of kids because my dad went into the service in World War II. My mother moved her and I was the only child, moved her and I to Seattle while she worked at Boeing. She was installed electrical wiring on the Boeing bombers. We were there for a couple of years, and so I got, that was when I was about the 5th to 6th grade. So I understood quite a bit about city life at that time. And so it wasn't that big a deal. Then when I went to high school at, Wenatchee, I got a lot of really good friends there. I still have a lot of friends there, and, I was the only tribal member at the time in Mirage High School, and then we had one over in Kashmir, and we played basketball and baseball against each other all the time, and we were the only two tribal people in that whole valley, at least the ones that we knew of.
So what position did you play?
Pardon, what was that?
What position did you play?
Baseball, I was third base, second base, and left field in the 3 years that I played.
There you go. The hot corner or third base?
Yeah, I started out at third base. In basketball, I was a guard, what they call a guard. I don't know what they call them today, I guess.
They call them guards. I know. You're either the one or the two. Wendell George, please hold on. Our special guest today is Wendell George. He's a member of the Colville Confederated Tribes, and he has a long history that we're getting together. We came to know Wendell without really knowing him through his books. And if you want to check them out, Wendell George, all his titles are available on Amazon. We'll be back to talk more with Wendell right after these words on News Radio 560 KPQ.
The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
12:39 in the afternoon, my very special guest is Wendell George. He's a member of the Colville Federated Tribes. He's an author. He's an engineer. He's got a lot of lives out there, and we're trying to come to grips with them. But we're just talking about his books because in his books, Wendell put what he knows about his heritage and the stories about his people and the stories about his own family and his earlier life into historical fiction, which is something that we're talking about now. So, Wendell, what was the next book that you wrote?
Called Raven Speaks.
What was it? I'm sorry. Once again, what was it?
Raven Speaks.
Raven Speaks.
Raven,
great.
The bird Raven.
Oh, yes.
Raven is in the coast tribes, used similar to how we use a coyote. They use a raven to tell their stories. And but the raven is used by a lot of countries all over the world, so it's pretty universal. So my book started out as a series of articles published in the Natural World newspaper. It was about Indian history and culture, but it isn't merely dates and lists of major events like a lot of history books. It offers more of a in-depth discussion of the Indian way and applies basic Indian philosophy to today's fast-moving events with an eye on how to cope with our problems of today. And these subjects are all tied together by Indian culture that's become over many generations. Since we didn't have a written language, we handed this down orally, and mythical coyote was used in that, but one common thing that came out, when, to me at least, was how certain animals personified unique traits, such as a group spirit for the eagle. The eagle has become a powerful spiritual symbol for everyone in the United States and also in 30 other countries. And so what this does is it's a theme of the Indian way to live as one with nature, including people, animals, earth, and the galaxies. And we say that everything is connected, so we must look out for each other. And, of course, that's a lot different from what the world looks like today to a lot of people. There's a lot of separatism.
That's a fact.
So, just
yes, sir, go ahead.
Just give you an example. On page 101, it describes green as a healing color, according to tribal beliefs. Tribal people know that green, or kween in the Wenatchee language, green of the forest and plants, promotes healing of our bodies and mind. And today's science tells us that our pineal gland is stimulated by sunlight and helps our health and behavior. Green's frequency is at the center of the color spectrum that we can see. It helps maintain the balance. And we feel that this is because we're luminous beings. We need the sun. We need the sun for energy. We need the sun for our philosophy, our thoughts. And recent studies have people staying in a forest for a few days, and when they come out, they feel a lot better just by being in that green environment. So science has kind of proven some of the Indian beliefs that way.
Have you ever done any personal healing by using those Indian beliefs?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, see, we do a lot of other things besides that. Winter dances and sweat houses are common use for us. And this does the same thing. It heals the mind, heals the body. So that's one of the things that's used by a lot of the tribal people. The fourth book is called Peace Warriors of America, and that we don't there was a, what happened there is Indian tribes had to be changed from being a free and independent system to a control one, which today is based on consumption. The whole economy we have in the United States right now is based on how much you buy. And this is wrong. It won't last. And that's against what the U.S. Seal, which features an eagle, is supposed to represent liberty, freedom, and independence, which actually mirrors the Indian way of life. But according on page 111 of Raven Speaks, the legends of both the coyote and Prometheus, which was a Greek story, brought fire to humans. And fire, it turns out, means enlightenment. And true enlightenment is a realization that your world is not what you thought it was. The only way true enlightenment can happen is to experience a paradigm shift through thought. And on page 116 of my book, Peace Warriors, that happened to astronaut Edgar Mitchell in his Apollo 14 return trip from the moon. And he wound up saying, what is needed is a new story of who we are and what we are capable of knowing. And that turns out to, again, be part the fact that we're one with nature. And on page 96 of this book, we have a diagram that shows we're tied to Earth and the galaxies. And it points out that a new spirituality, the transformation of consciousness is arising, and your state of consciousness determines your spirituality. So you must go beyond thought to determine your identity or your sense of who you are. For example, Native Americans feel they belong to the land, but the land does not belong to them. So beware of your attachment to things, and it will diminish. In summary, on page 103, the Paiute medicine man, Bavoka, said, another world is coming, just like a cloud. It will come in a whirlwind out of the west. And that kind of summarizes everything.
What do you think that whirlwind symbolizes?
It symbolizes what we're going through. We're going through all kinds of environmental upturns like floods and fires. We're going all kinds of people killing each other. But this is like a turbulence. It's like a tornado or like a hurricane. But eventually that goes away and you wind up with peace. And so I think that we're going through the earliest stages that we have to go through before we wind up with peace.
Well, the sooner the better for that, okay, Wendell? The sooner the better. Wendell George, we're going to take another break. Please hold on. You've been a great guest. We're speaking with my very special guest, Wendell George, member of the Colville Confederated Tribes, an engineer, a writer, a cattle rancher, an apple orchardist, and the man who's our special guest this afternoon. We'll be back right after this on News Radio 560 KPQ.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
Get tuned in and tuned up Saturdays at 2 p.m. with The Car Show on News Radio 560 KPQ.
Helpless. This is Dave Ross on the CBS News Radio Network, presented by TheraWorks Relief. I remember when I was about 5 years old, a salesman once came to our home to sell some kind of alarm system. And to close the deal, he had a little metal dollhouse. He put it on the kitchen table. I'm guessing he had primed it with lighter fluid, and he set a match to it. Instantly, the flames were licking out from the windows. I had nightmares for weeks. There is nothing quite so terrifying as realizing everything you know, your home, your community, could just disappear. But that's what we're seeing in California. I realize California is a special case. It's experiencing what's called negative rain. It is so dry, the air is actually sucking water out of the ground. But here it is, November, and it's still happening. Do we blame man-made global warming? Or is this just the way nature has been cleaning house for millions of years? Probably both. But at this point, who cares? Whatever it is, we're not ready for it. Our current national security priority in California has been to protect it from that caravan, which is fine, but national security also needs to include finding ways to keep entire suburbs from burning to the ground. There are now 5,700 soldiers helping to fortify the California border, but it seems to me that what would really protect California would be to build better fire breaks. Dave Ross on the CBS News Radio Network.
To experience relief from muscle cramps in your legs and feet, use TheraWorks Relief Fast-Acting Foam. Get TheraWorks Relief today in the pain relief aisle at your local pharmacy or TheraWorksRelief.com.
Dr. Matt Pluge's in studio from Pluge Family Dentistry. Can you talk to us about implants?
Implants have become a huge part of our practice. I don't know that a day goes by we're not dealing with some type of implant surgery on some level. Implants have been an amazing addition to the field of dentistry. Being able to replace teeth in a predictable manner, in a way that feels, functions, and looks like a real tooth is amazing. With the newer implants, they're so predictable. We're able to replace missing teeth. They look, feel, and function like a natural tooth. Like in Warren's case, for instance, with the addition of implants, we were able to restore his full mouth in a way that he can eat things like steak and potato chips and cheeseburgers.
Do you ever still do bridges?
We do a lot of bridges. Even to this day, we still do them once in a while. But an implant preserves the tooth on either side of the space. Like I said, it looks, feels, and functions like a natural tooth. It's an amazing way to restore missing teeth.
Pluge Family Dentistry. Excellence in advanced dentistry. Visit them today online, 88teeth.com, or give them a call. Their number is 88teeth.
The world never stops. It's constantly changing, evolving, moving forward. And so are we. Introducing Spectrum Mobile, built on America's largest and most reliable LTE network. Combined with a nationwide network of Wi-Fi hotspots, free talk and text, and all designed to save you money. The best network, the best devices, the best value. Spectrum Mobile. Visit Spectrum.com today. Restrictions apply.
This is Jim Heinlein, an independent agent at Senior Insurance. We are very busy with annual enrollment period, helping those of you with health and drug plans decide, do you want the same plan for next year? At Senior Insurance, we teach you all about plan options and help you decide what plan is most suitable for you for next year. Our services are free to you. Give us a call today at Senior Insurance, our number 888-2600. You can also walk in to our new office and set an appointment in person at 1108 Springwater. That's just behind Target on Springwater Street.
Hello friends, this is Bart Tilley. Today I'm wearing my board member hat for Lighthouse Christian Ministries, which is an organization that I'm incredibly passionate about. As Thanksgiving and Christmas rapidly approach, I wanted to ask you all to remember our brothers and sisters in need. On this note, we will be hosting our 7th annual A Night in a Box event on Friday, November 16th. Please consider joining us or in donating to this fundraising event. You can learn more by visiting anightinabox.com.
What a gorgeous autumn we have had, and guess what's coming, Wenatchee Valley? The holidays are on our doorstep, and Collins Fashions is ready for you. We can style you from head to toe. Beautiful dresses, sweaters, slacks for your events. Shoes and boots, too. Beautifully crafted jewelry and handbags from Brighton. Gifts galore and complimentary gift wrapping at Collins Fashions. Come in, ladies, ASAP, and make out your wish list, where fun meets fashion in downtown Wenatchee.
Shed light on the best things in life. Bring beautiful, natural light into your home with Sola Tube's innovative tubular daylighting technologies from Community Glass. Convert dark spaces into places you love. With Community Glass's expert installation and free estimates, it's quick and easy. Give Community Glass a call today or stop in and ask about Sola Tube daylighting. 662-8039 or find them on the web at communityglass.com.
Community Glass.
The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
It's 12:53. My very special guest is Wendell George. He's a member of the Colville Federated Confederated Tribes, and he's also our special guest today, an author and an engineer and a man who's had many lives. But we're talking about his books and about his tribe and about the reservation. And Wendell, let's give the people another chance to buy your books. Tell them where they're available and some of the titles, if you'd be so kind.
Okay, well, the Ye Olde Books Shop at Palouse, Anna Marie Ordway. She's the only retail outlet I have locally now, because Hastings went out of business. The two bookstores up here in Olmec went out of business, and But Amazon has them. The start out with Coyote Finishes the People, and then Last Chief Standing, and then Raven Speaks, and the last book was Peace Warriors of America.
Are you going to write more?
Well, I started to, but it looked like it was going to be kind of a total history of the tribe, and that looked like to me it was going to be too much to do. So I haven't got too far on it.
Well, I'm sure another story will come up. The way it is with writers, they can't stay away from the page too long. Another story will come up and present itself to you, don't you think?
That's probably true. I have a Facebook page, American Indians, that I update every once in a while. So this information and other information will be on that if people are on Facebook.
What's the address? Oh, it's on Facebook. What's it called?
American Indians.
American Indians on Facebook. Okay, I'm going to check that out as soon as I get off the air. Wendell George, I got to go because I'm out of time. I'm so sorry. You've been a great guest, and I know it's hard to do it on the phone, but you're a trooper and also a very creative guy, so I wanted to make sure someone buys your books. Thank you, Wendell. We'll talk. Should we do this again sometime?
Sure. I'll be glad to.
I would be glad to as well. Wendell George, I'm going to bid you farewell. Thanks for joining us this afternoon, Wendell George. Member of the Colville Confederated Tribes, his book's available at Ye Olde Bookshop. Ask Anna Ordway. She'll tell you all about it.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ.